Everybody. We have a few announcements before the service begins. As of today, there's going to be a RE classroom change. The children in the K grades 2 spirit play class will be meeting in classroom 4, and the middle school students will be meeting in classroom 3. Also, there is an OWL parent orientation today at noon in classroom 4. A bag, a blanket, and a bear. This holiday season, we are collecting bags, blankets, and bears for children entering foster care. Take a tag from the foyer giving tree and purchase one or all three items. All items are due back to the church by December 8th. And an announcement near and dear to my heart, now is your chance to join the Christmas choir. We'll be rehearsing the beginning of next week, November 17th, and all music for the Christmas service will be December 15th. And talk to Karen Haskell if you're interested. Right there. Welcome to the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. Whoever you are, wherever you've come from, whomever you love, we welcome you. We are so glad that you have come here this morning and hope that you find something in today's service that nourishes your spirit. I am Laura Levenhagen, today's worship associate. Please join us for refreshments and conversation in the social hall after the service. And if you are new to our church, I encourage you to stop by the welcome table to find out more about LCUUC. Today's order of service includes announcements of upcoming church activities, and we look forward to everybody joining in. Please take a moment in today's service to silence any electronics you may have brought with you. And again, we are so pleased that you've chosen to be here with us this morning. Today's service is very special. I'm very pleased to have Lynn Stahl here. She is an arrhythmist and an artist who will share with us about the spiritual beginnings of the art of eurythmy and what makes it unique and meaningful for today's world. Lynn received her eurythmy diploma with a special emphasis in working with adults from Eurythmy Spring Valley Chestnut Ridge, New York. Our opening words are by David White. Loaves and fishes. This is not the age of information. This is not the age of information. Forget the news and the radio and the blurred screen. This is the time of loaves and fishes. People are hungry, and one good word is bread for a thousand. May this chalice serve as a light for our path and lead us to where we are welcomed, accepted, and loved. Please join in body or spirit and join in singing our opening hymn number 11, God of Stars and Sunshine. Nancy will play through it once. We have lots of new, beautiful music this today. And I really encourage you to relax and to read the words. If you can't sing the words and follow the rhythm at the same time, just hum it. Very beautiful words we have in our service today. For our story of all ages today, Lynn would like to share Eurythmy with us, and I invite the children and those young at heart to come forward. And if anyone has brought in a food item or a donation for our food pantry, if you'd like to bring that forward or have a child bring that forward at this time, that would be great.
we, loving and bold, truthful and good. Lovely. Nice job. Thank you. So in order to have some space for me to move here, how about you take some seats in the front? And if you have leftovers, perfect. Excellent. Everybody have a seat? Good. So we also learn not only to make our sounds for speaking, but also for music. And I'm going to share with you a piece that was written over 100 years ago by an American composer. And he wrote this particular piece in what's called an A major scale. And so Ms. Brown and I are going to just go through this scale. And I'm going to show you what the tones will look like. So here's an A and a B. D, E, F sharp, G sharp, and A. So you'll see some of these tones in the piece that I'm going to be doing today. And then also in intervals. Now intervals are actually the sound of the silence between two notes. So, we'll just show you some from starting with an A note to a B note, to the second. Okay, hold on, and then it's open to you. And then an A to a C is a third. An A to a D is a fourth. An A to an E is a fifth. An A to a F sharp is a sixth. And an A to a G sharp is a seventh. And an A to an A, that's eight steps away. Okay. So in this piece, you might want to see if you can find any of the intervals or tones that I just showed you. Alright? So this is a piece by Edward McDowell, and it's called To a Wild Rose. Thank you.
Megan, if you would like to come forward. Children can follow Megan out to RE and help us sing them out with Go Now in Peace. The words are in your order of service. House of love, freedom, and acceptance, built and sustained by the gifts of those who come to receive what they need and give what they can. This house is your house. May it always be worthy of the gifts that it receives from you. The morning offering will now be given and received. Thanks for these gifts given and received for the work of this community. This is the time in our service when we share our joys and concerns. We do this in two ways, by speaking them aloud and by lighting candles. Would anyone who has a joy or a sorrow to share, please raise your hand. The ushers will bring you a microphone. Please tell us your first name and then briefly tell us the joy or concern that you'd like to share, and I will light a candle so that we may hold that in our thoughts and prayers for you.
Good morning. I'm Barbara, and I'd like us to light a candle of concern for all those people in the Pacific caught in that horrible, horrible typhoon. And their families. It sounds just, I don't know how the world's going to help with this one. Get enough help there. Thank you.
It's Karen. a candle for my Aunt Betty, who passed on this week. And I was very fortunate to be able to see her when I was in Colorado a month or so ago for the last time. And I kind of knew I would never see her again, so it was a special trip for me. And I think she's in a good place now. And then at the same time, my other Aunt Barb had a heart surgery and just about passed on, but she came back out of it. So I'm happy that she is still with us.
Hi, my name is Kirsten. I'd like you to light a candle of concern for my daughter-in-law, Laura, and also my son, Ross. My daughter-in-law fell from a 20-foot precipice and was in a coma for a couple of weeks. She's currently in rehab and showing signs of progress, but she's still not Laura. So I'm concerned also for my son, Ross, her husband.
My name is Dave, and another candle of concern. As life happens, some lives end, and a family that I know of lost a 20-something-year-old son, brother, cousin. So, candle of concern for their families as they deal with that loss.
Hi, I'm Joanne. A candle of concern for my friend John, whose cancer has returned and is having a hard time adjusting to the new round of chemo.
A candle for my grandfather-in-law, who would have been 91 on Friday, passed away last month and was just a wonderful man and a great patriarch of the family. And another candle for my husband, who landed safely at the South Pole, and that he has a healthy season there and returns safely in a few months.
I'll light a final candle for those joys and concerns that we keep deep in our hearts. Our first reading today is from the prologue to the Gospel of St. John. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things came to be. Not one thing had its being but through him. All that came to be had life in him. And that life was the light of men, a light that shines in the dark, a light that darkness could not overpower. Please stay seated for our centering hymn number 197, and if the choir will come forward, please.
Thank you.
second reading is the Meditation for Eurythmists. Rudolf Steiner, the founder of Eurythmy, gives a meditation for Eurythmy, introducing the meditation with the following words. It is only by repeatedly calling up a certain mood of the soul that the eurythmist can gain the receptivity of feeling and perception necessary for expressive gesture. This delicate and fine perception can be awakened in the eurythmist by means of a meditation drawn from the secret nature of the human organization. When you have meditated upon such words as these, you will discover that you can say of yourselves, "It is though I have awakened out of a cosmic sleep into the heavenly realm of eurythmy." Meditation for Eurythmists. I seek within me the activity of creative forces, the life of creative powers. The earthly force of weight speaks to me through the words of my feet. The forming might of the air speaks to me through the singing of my hands. The power of heavenly light speaks to me through the thinking of my head. How the world in the human being speaks, sings, thinks. Please join me for a minute of silent meditation or prayer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. I am delighted to be here this morning to share about my passion about the art of eurythmy. It has, and it's an art form that has enhanced my life on a very deep level. In the early 1900s, there was an impulse to spiritualize dance from the traditional forms of ballet. Three great dancers had broken from the old tradition of ballet: Isadora Duncan, Ruth St. Denis, and Maud Allan. With them came a new kind of dance, the stream of modern dance. And with it came dancers who had astonishing control, balance, and manipulation of the physical body. And they used it as an instrument for the expression of intense inner emotion. Around this same time, mid-December 1911, Clara Schmidt, whose husband had actually died the previous month, was in the office of Dr. Rudolf Steiner in Berlin, Germany. Mrs. Schmidt was asking his advice on what profession he thought her daughter could take up. And when she declared her daughter Lori's love for movement, he said he was willing to show her a type of movement that was inspired by spirit. And from this conversation, Lori Mayer Schmidt became the first eurythmist, and the seed for the art of eurythmy was planted. Dr. Rudolf Steiner was not a dancer, nor was he a eurythmist. He was not looking to revamp the current or past systems of dance. He was not concerned with any type of synthesis of contemporary trends. And he was not into westernizing Eastern philosophical ways of dance. He wanted to create a form of dance in which its impulse and creative forces would come consciously and directly from the spiritual world. Steiner would challenge us not only to make eurythmy an art, but a spiritual experience of a system of movement specifically for the consciousness of the Western world. But first, and briefly, who was this Rudolf Steiner? Has anybody heard of his name? Ah, quite a few. All right, beautiful. So Dr. Rudolf Steiner, a scientist and philosopher, was born near Vienna, Austria in 1861. Like each of you, he encouraged individual human freedom in seeking out one's own spiritual heritage and destiny. He saw that modern man would not be satisfied by mere belief or faith in religious authority, but would need to know the truths of the spiritual world through scientific methods of thinking. Through meditative practices and disciplined exercises, he was able to see into the spiritual world. And from his findings, he developed the spiritual science and philosophy of anthroposophy, which literally means the wisdom of man, anthroposophy. The spiritual processes of how we think, feel, and take action in the world are deeply woven into all of anthroposophy and its initiatives. Rudolf Steiner's clarity of thought is demonstrated through the 40-plus books he authored and over 6,000 documented lectures that he gave throughout Europe on a wide range of topics, including esoteric Christianity, reincarnation and karma, and a threefold social order that aims for the equality of rights in political life, freedom in cultural life, and associative cooperation in economic life. In addition to cultivating clear thinking, Rudolf Steiner felt that one must take their spiritual strivings into their daily life. He provided the impulse and indication for many social initiatives, including Waldorf education, where eurythmy is part of the curriculum, biodynamic farming, anthroposophical medicine, and the Financial Institute of RSF, Innovation in Social Finance. In the feeling realm, Rudolf Steiner suggested the arts were to weave between our thinking and our will activities. He knew that a feeling life nourished through the beauty of the arts would keep our thinking mobile and lead us to right action. With this in mind, Rudolf Steiner worked to identify and cultivate the spiritual impulse as a renewal for all of the arts. Which brings us back to his work with the development of the art of eurythmy, which he called the social art for today and the future. He stated that anyone who wanted to acquire the spiritual heritage of dance or a system of movement should study the sounds of speech. For speech is one of the greatest of the human mysteries. In speech, the human is a microcosm of the macrocosmic logos or creative word. Indeed, the prologue from the Gospel of St. John speaks of this macrocosmic power of the creative word. As Laura read in her first reading, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things came to be. Not one thing had its being but through him. It is well documented that human beings throughout history have always recognized the power of the word. Abracadabra is thought to have its origin in the Aramaic language, in which it means create as I say. A mantra, which is originated in India, is essentially a thought form representing divine or cosmic powers which exert their influence by means of a sound vibration. Because we are made in the image of God, in essence we are all little mini gods, we know we have this power to create via the word. This is oftentimes reflected in the popular use of positive affirmations. Even if one does not believe in God or a higher power, we have familiar phrases, as good as my word, you have my word on it, that speaks to the power of one's own word. Today, speech serves as a mediator in society, and through it, humanity can communicate logical, intellectual knowledge. However, for many of us, the word has lost much of its inherent value. All too often, the beauty of the sounds of the vowels and consonants are lost. But if we can carry a consciousness of our spiritual heritage being birthed from the heavens, we can learn to consciously feel our way again into the reverberation of the vowels sustained in our soul, and we can consciously feel again the consonants sculpting qualities energized by the Spirit. With this experience, we will gradually begin to understand the mystery that at one time divine spiritual beings were able to speak to the human soul through the Word. I would like to perform for you a verse called "The Stars Spoke Once to Man" by Rudolf Steiner, and it really speaks of this cosmic conversation between the celestial heavens and the human being. So, Laura, if you would be so kind. And there'll be some silent movement before we actually go into the verse. And what they're called are off-talks. And there'll be a series of them beforehand and a series after that. You can think of them, if you know music, as a prelude and a postlude to the actual verse itself. And I've chosen some vowels and their planets, and some consonants and the zodiac signs. And I'll begin with Libra, which is connected to the sound of which is in silence and dance. And so I hope that you enjoy it. Just connect here for a moment. Miss Laura.
The stars spoke once to man. The stars spoke once. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Stars spoke once to man. It is world destiny that they are silent now. To be aware of the silence can become pain for earthly man. But in the deepening silence, there grows and ripens what man speaks to the stars. to be aware of the speaking can become strength for spirit man. Rudolf Steiner described eurythmy this way. If one was able to observe what is formed by the speaking mouth, they would see in the air the invisible gestures being made there as words. We'll be seeing that soon as it gets colder and colder. We'll see our breath in the air. If one imitates these air gestures with the whole body, then one has eurythmy as expressive, visible gesture. Eurythmy is the transformation of an air gesture into a visible, expressive gesture of the limbs and body. So let's just take a vowel and a consonant. So if we have the sound of ah and ba, sounding ah, so if you just with your own hand, put it up, and just ah, ah. What's happening with the air?
Ah.
In contrast to ba, ba, ba. Can you just say one word about the ah sound? Ah. What is it?
It comes out soft and numb.
Good. So we have this ah quality. It's coming out, and the eurythmy gesture models that. With the ba, what is happening with the ba sound?
First.
Yes, so it's what we call an explosive, a consonant that has an explosive quality of ba. But there is this also an embracing quality that comes with a ba. We know it's going to embrace something, and that is what then we do in the eurythmy. So it basically, you can see where the modeling of what we put out in the world can then be shaped through our arms and our bodies. When one starts to notice the musical qualities of the vowels and the sculpting forms and qualities of the consonants, we begin to enter into this living quality of sounds. And it is when we express the movement living in the words, it is this particular activity that spiritualizes the movement. And that's what makes eurythmy unique in conjunction with the word. Every vowel and consonant or tone or interval of music has a corresponding archetype eurythmy gesture, as well as an essential quality that goes along with it. So for example, with the ah, we hardly can do ah without feeling a sense of awe and reverence. And that is what we would call the essential quality that we carry in the movement as we're using it in eurythmy. When we do eurythmy, we try to make the eurythmy gestures as beautiful as we can. Beauty is a virtue which allows the spiritual to shine through. I have found that the art of eurythmy has this unique ability to waken the beauty within each of us and raise us up out of the mundane of every day and truly opens up this doorway to our spiritual heritage of
truth, beauty, and goodness. Now, I'd like for those who would like to experience doing a verse with me to kind of make a circle in the room, and those that would like to be the audience, we always need an audience, as well as the spiritual world will participate as well as be an audience. And I need one person to read the poem. All right? So if you would like to be bold and come around, and if I can recruit one person to read it. All right. So we're just going to make a circle so that we can include
in the graphic.
And just make it open to everybody. So we can actually create a circle with that question. It's a great question. So, and we're going to just be doing some sounds to it. So just model my behavior. And so, what is your name?
Barb.
So Barb is going to read the verse for us, and let's just take the first line.
A healthy social life is found.
Perfect. So this is a social, it's called the social verse by Rudolf Steiner, and we're just going to do an O in it. So the healthy social life is found. All right, and so when we do the O, it's actually a quality, and O has this devotional quality. And it's of this mother that is watching her child and has to know when to also give space for the child to be. So there's this devotional quality sometimes of observing and having to be the observer of what's going on. All right? And so when we do this, though, I would like you to include everybody in it. All right? Good. So go ahead and read through and we'll just go through the poem very slowly.
The healthy social life is found when, in the mirror of each human soul.
Good. So let's stop there. So we're just going to do when, in the mirror. Good. So I'm going to do it this way because it's hard from there. When, in the mirror. Good. Each human soul. Another O. Beautiful. Next one.
The whole community is shaped.
You're going to do a beautiful. The whole community is shaped. Good. And next slide.
And when in the community lives the strength of each human soul.
Good. All right. So I'm having you do a lot. So let's just go through the poem one more time.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
The healthy social life is found when, in the mirror of each human soul, the whole community is shaped.
Is shaped. Good.
And when, in the community, lives the strength of each human soul.
Given to the eurythmist from Rudolf Steiner to actually sound out into the world. Thank you.
We have a couple of minutes for a polylog. It's a time in our service where we can share our insights and thoughts about the morning service. So if you would like to share your thoughts, raise your hand and the usher will bring you a microphone. And please offer your comments, remembering the many many perspectives that we represent.
I just have a question about how translation would work, since this was created in Germany and you were performing in English.
Great question. Can everybody hear me if I come down? Great, beautiful. So this was actually an art form that was developed with the German language. And what's so nifty about language is that the sounds don't change. So the same ah that would be an ah in German has the same quality of when we speak it. It goes out into the same ah might be in a word here that might mean a word differently in German, but the ah quality of the sound is still the same. So that's excellent. I actually had 17 people in my class, probably five or six of them were from foreign languages, from foreign countries, and I always just really admired their capacity to be able to cross over to the actual understanding of the English language. But I had people from Japan, from Russia, Czechoslovakia, and I think there were several others, but those
were the performing that form.
Yes, they would. Yes. And actually, the English language carries a special mission because there's not a coincidence that we're actually worldwide as far as the English language, because there's a specific task for the English language. So there will be a quality of movement that will be different from an American eurythmist than it would be in a German. And based on, yes, there would be this difference in the translation of the words within the poem itself. German has a very sculpting quality, and so you would see a lot of sculpting qualities when you see something done in German compared to the American, which might have more vowel orientation. And or to another extreme, which would be Hawaiian, which would be very, would it be balletic? Is that the word? Yeah. Thank you for your question. Yeah.
I was wondering if you could,
We're here.
I was wondering if you could speak to eurythmy in Waldorf schools and what the positive aspect is supposed to be for the children in, like, within their school day, within their school work, and how that's all supposed to come together?
I would love to. Thank you for that question. So the question is how do we, why do we use eurythmy as part of the curriculum? At the eurythmy school, I'm just going to kind of tell you a little bit about the eurythmist. We learn from what's called form drawings. We learn geometry, type of movements. We learn about poetry. We learn about music. And so the eurythmists themselves will carry a lot of information that goes into the classroom. The type of movement that's provided by eurythmy is a sense where people, they start to find themselves within the space. So they're in a social movement where when you start to move with somebody, you have to start to create different qualities and capacities within yourself to be able to move alongside of them. So you'll notice, like, if we're walking down the street, if you were in a busy city of, let's say, New York, and you were walking down, you somehow get into the same movements unconsciously, right, of the flow of traffic, or even if you're driving, you get to the flow of traffic and we kind of move along. Well, with eurythmy, you have to get into the flow, but you have to be able to be consciously being able to do it. So there's star formation, there's this embodying of sound that really builds different qualities that makes the thinking very flexible, makes them creative in different ways, gives them courage. There's something about when you do a movement that has a spiritual heritage in it, that it gives you strength to do moral action. Now, I've talked to rhythmists who are specifically in schools, and they have received feedback from the teachers how much the children will change through eurythmy, as well as they always want to be the class that's right after when eurythmy is given, because there's such a specific type of creative order that comes from it that supports the well-being of the child, and the harmony, the very harmonious type of art form. Also, there's, you know what, it's interesting. So there was a moment when I got distracted when I was doing the story to the children. And you know, you, as an artist, then you begin to like, oh, that happened. And like, can I move on from that space? And so eurythmy has also this quality, because it's, when we move in our body, it's such a vulnerable place to be, that it really gives you a lot of courage to be able to be exposed and keep on going. Did that help you, Barbara? Yes, it did. All right. Okay. Any other questions?
Is eurythmy used to refer to human nature? How people feel like that?
Yes. So Emily asked the question, is eurythmy used in a therapeutic situation? And it is. It actually works if we, if anybody, let's see. So there are different, like, energy bodies that make up the human being. And one of them has specifically to do with our growth and our energy and our health. And eurythmy particularly works within that realm of health-giving energy. And there is, once you get a four-year, like, a college degree in eurythmy, then you can go on and specialize in certain areas. And one might be for a Waldorf education, one might be for therapeutic eurythmy, and another one would be like a social adult eurythmist, which would be mine. But the actual, the reason why it is such a beautiful social art is that it already is health-giving by doing it. And what will happen with the therapeutic eurythmist, there's one in the Milwaukee area, her name is Mary Rood. And she will work either in conjunction, I've known eurythmists who had been so isolated that they haven't been able to work with the doctor, but there are specific exercises and indications that Steiner had given eurythmists to do for specific, I hate to use the word diseases, but conditions. Yeah. You're welcome.
I am Joe. Over here.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I haven't heard of this eurythmy before, but I read a book on it called Brain Gym many, many years ago, and it was talking about the hemispheres and movements and how that would strengthen the cooperation between your brain hemispheres and the legs. So just wondering what the connection is between that, those sciences. They sound pretty much the same, but if you can add anything to that?
I would be glad to. A eurythmist that introduced me to eurythmy in California, she was a therapeutic eurythmist, and she also used brain gym materials. She worked a lot with children in the school. And I would say that there is, yes, this movement of the brain, but what I would say is that with eurythmy, it's a spiritual movement, and that it's actually coming from this place of the cosmic logos. And so I have not found another movement that provides that. But I certainly know that Truth was her name, is her name, and she used that. She had lots of tools in her bag.
Okay.
Hi, I'm right in front. So I was trained as a music teacher. So long, long ago, I took a Dalcroze rhythmics class. And, you know, I've been trying to figure out how this is connected or not connected. Were they familiar with each other? I don't remember Dalcroze's timeline. I don't remember which would have come first. But it seems to have parallels, except that Dalcroze rhythmics would just be a musical expression.
You know, that's a great question, and I've been asked that enough. You think I would know, like, a really smithy good answer to that. But I know that I have a feeling that it was around the same time period. I know that eurythmy itself, and eurythmic, you know, eurythmics, that's what it's getting, is the root of, it's a Greek word standing for harmonious movement. And so it doesn't surprise me that certain impulses come through, you know, in a spiritual historical evolution, that impulses will come through the spiritual world to try to get messages through us. It's kind of like, you know, what the verse was, that once we actually heard very quite clearly what the gods wanted us to do, and at a certain point we were cut off in spiritual history and evolution, and now we're lifting the veil through a conscious effort. And so, you know what, you're going to make sure that I figure out the answer to that, so the next time I'm asked, I will know. So thank you, Michelle. And if you give me your name and information, I will call you and let you know, all right? Anybody else?
Hi, I'm Eric.
Hi, Eric.
I don't actually have a fully formed idea, but just an observation or a comment, and then you can let me know if I'm on track or off base. But it just seems to me that one difference between eurythmy and the performance art of dance is a lot of times what they're trying to convey in ballet or in a performing art form is the meaning of the word, and what you are doing is acting or meditating on the sound of the word. I'm just reflecting on the connection that you make to the word, and so much of the sermon tied to the word, but what you're talking about is the sound of the word, not the meaning of.
There's a soul aspect and a spiritual aspect, and they're both, we both have both, and they're both necessary. And so the modern dance, the expressive one that would come from the meaning, would be more of this soul quality. And when it comes from the sounds and the power of the force of, that's carried in the sounds of the word, that would be, I'm just, you know, saying blanket, would be more of the eurythmic type, eurythmy model. And actually, long ago, when poetry first started being on the scene, we didn't actually even know the words, the meaning of the words. We just listened to the sounds. And we had rhythms of anapest, dactylus, and on. And so we were actually moved by the soundings of it and the rhythm of the poem. And in contrast, nowadays, because we are very much in, you know, wanting to understand, which is appropriate consciousness age for our time, is that we want to understand what is it that poet is trying to express to us. And so from that perspective, we longed for the hunger. For like, well, what does that mean, and how do I, my inner soul, what is my inner soul relationship to what that poet is meaning? Does that help, Eric, or not? But there is definitely a distinction between the two, and the modern dancer works again with the physical body, And I actually am taught to work with what is called etheric forces, which are the growth forces. If we walk outside and see the grass and the green growing, it's the etheric forces of what is being, what enlivens the world through growth, what's called growth forces. Not, you know, just take, yeah, is that?
It's interesting to hear.
Yeah, just a different. You're welcome. You're welcome. Any other questions or comments?
Yes, I'll just say my name's Bob.
Good.
Thank you so much for bringing this to our service and to into our lives. It's another way to experience our own spirituality and to truly listen and know that our body can transform. We each can do our dance. And I just thank you so much.
We extinguish this chalice, and we know that wherever we go, the warmth and light of this congregation will always lead us home. Please stand as you're willing and able and join us in hymn number 326, Let All the Beauty We Have Known.
To destroy or heal, when words are both true and kind, they can change our world. The Buddha.